ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town? On the morning after, or so we shall speak, or two mornings after. Bill O'Brien has spoken. The season is officially behind us, if you're a Houston Texans fan. And there are four left in the NFL playoffs. First half, very, very good. Second half, not so much. So now we start the microscope. We put everything under the microscope. We put the scope on and we start figuring out, where do you guys think there needs to be change? What do you think needs to be done differently? Does anybody have to go? Should I stay or should I go? By the Clash should be the theme song of any Texans segment. And oh, by the way, there was some pretty damn good football over the course of the weekend. I am joined by my man, as always, the man who made 99 famous here in the city of Houston, Texas. Before there was a JJ, there was a Trap J, and Travis Johnson is to my left. Trap, welcome to a MLK Day. Happy MLK Day.
Man, Martin Luther King Day, man. You know, it's a wonderful day. You know, more than just getting off a day, you know, from work, but Martin Luther King Day is phenomenal. I just remember as a kid, man, going to those Martin Luther King Day parades in Los Angeles. It was always one of the best things ever for me.
Weather held up. They had the one in Midtown again this morning. Yep, 10 a.m. So got that going. We're working. We honor Dr. King and everything that he stood for. So hopefully you do too. Nick Sharara, how are you?
Doing awesome. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there. I teased it on my social media yesterday, but boys, I got a story for you. I was trying to keep it organic for Travis.
Well, I still don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so everybody knew I was going to go to the game on Sunday. Had tickets, got them lined up. Keenan even actually backed them up. And everything was set. And the deal with my one of my best friends was, he'll drive if I get the tickets. So I got the tickets. He's driving. Saturday night comes. We're watching the Texans game. He calls me up. He says, hey, man, how about if I just cash in some miles? We'll fly instead. I'm like, dude, that's up to you. So he schedules the flight, and I find out we've got a 1 o'clock flight, land in Dallas at 2.
That's where you screwed up, because if you're going to leave, go ahead.
So I said, I said exactly what you said, Mr. Johnson. I said, seems like that's a little late. He said, well, that's the only one we could get on, but we'll get to Dallas by 2, and then we'll just get an Uber or a cab, and it's not that, so it's 27 miles away. I said, what about traffic? No, we'll be fine. So even Sunday morning, I get up, and I got the baby. I'm doing all kinds of things, getting the house ready and working on some things with Lisa. And I go, it's sitting with me that we should be driving. And my buddy was just still adamant. No, we're going to be fine. So we get to the airport. We get on the plane. We're good to go. We're airborne. Everything's great. Unfortunately, Charlie Brown's teacher was on our plane, because the entire time while we were talking on the flight, you would hear, and I'm like, I don't know what they're saying, but we'll be fine. And my buddy kept going, no, dude, we're good, because it's only a 40-minute flight, so it doesn't matter. At one point, I heard Charlie Brown's teacher say, we're sorry for the inconvenience. And I went, inconvenience, that's not a good thing. He's like, no, don't worry about it. So he looks at his watch, and he goes, hey, man, it's 2 o'clock. I go, we were supposed to land at 2, Jamie. And he goes, oh, yeah. He's like, you worried? And I go, worried? I'm a little bit concerned. All of a sudden, Charlie Brown's teacher gives the microphone to someone who could speak English. And she says, ladies and gentlemen, we are running extremely low on fuel. Therefore, we'll be turning the aircraft around after circling and taxiing Dallas for the last 23 minutes. We are now going back to Houston. At that point, my heart hit the inside of my Air Jordans. And I went, it's over, Johnny. It's over. And he looked at me and goes, what do you want to do? I go, what do I want to do?
It's not like you got a parachute strapped to your back and say, open up the right hatch, let's jump out.
I said, what I want to do is make sure we get home in time so that I can get back into my house to watch the entire game. He's like, you don't want to go back? I go, time it out for me, bro. By the time we land, refuel, make sure that we're cleared, and God knows if we would even be cleared to land. And ironically, we get back, we land in Houston. They're like, they let us off the plane to refuel, because they said you had to check with gate agents just to see, because people wanted to get different connecting flights. They were going elsewhere. And all of a sudden, as we're walking up the tarmac, we hear, ladies and gentlemen, the 1 o'clock Houston to Dallas flight, which has been rerouted, has now been canceled. Your next flight availability, 3 p.m. And I went, mm-mm, not even close. We went right back to the parking garage, right back in the car, right back home, and I got into the man cave as the opening kickoff was going up.
It sucks.
Man, it sucks to be you. You know,
well, it doesn't, it doesn't. Because the outcome, as much as I would want to have been there, regardless, if I can get that outcome, I'm taking it.
Oh, no question. I mean, not just that. We glad you weren't there and get beat up like the Packers fan got beat up.
Did you see it? Did you finally see it?
Of course.
Ridiculous, man.
Yeah, I mean, this is what happens when you go into hostile territory, man, wearing... And lucky he didn't play against the Raiders in Oakland or some stuff like that. He might have died.
And, you know, and this stuff all started with the Cowboys-Texans thing, too. That's why they got all those regulations now. If you got to have a ticket just to tailgate over at NRG because of all the fights when the Cowboys came to Houston.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, I'm, you know.
But alcohol plays into that, too. I mean, people get hopped up and then they got a lot of confidence.
But, you know, the crazy part is I've experienced a kind of a similar thing how you had on the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it was the first time I went to Turks and Caicos, so this had to be like 2008. And
my honeymoon there, it's fantastic.
Yes, I love it. Yeah, so like first time we go to Turks and Caicos. So what I do is because my parents at the time were still working, both of them,
mm-hmm.
and my mom was still working, my dad wasn't, but my dad was like, it was gonna be late, so I said, you know what? How about I just drop the kids off in L.A., fly back to Houston. And they catch my flight to Turks and Caicos. That was the best way that's the best we could do to find somebody to watch the kids in order for us to go to Turks and Caicos. So I fly to LA, drop the kids off my parents, stay for a night, and then hopping back on a bird the next evening, and coming back to Houston. Well, we get back to Houston and we're circling Hobby Airport, and I'm sitting there looking like, man, this is not good. This is not good. This is not good. Then they tell me, say, and mind you, now my Turks and Caicos flight leaves at, I think I'm on the 550 or the 610 flight out headed, you know, you got to go to Miami or wherever first. And we're meeting Dre, Dante Robinson. We're meeting everybody at the airport. So I'm like, man, I'm finna be late. You know, so all of a sudden dude goes, yeah, we landed in Austin. I said, hold on. I had a ticket for Houston. I need to be in Houston in an hour. I need to be in Houston so I can get back. So I end up getting, you know, because at the time it was a bunch of people on the plane that was renting a car. I was like, oh, we're going to drive to Houston. But nobody, you know, I'm super low key when I'm out. You know what I mean? So everybody's like, we're not going to let this big black dude ride with us. You know what I mean? Like, they looking at me like, now if I'd have been like, yeah, you know, I play for the Texans, right? You know, I'm currently on the Texans roster.
Oh, God, then they would have had a limo for
him. Oh, who wants to ride with him? Yeah. You know what I mean? So I end up taking the little shuttle bus.
Instead, no one's asking Suge Knight to get in a car with them because they might not get out, Nick.
So I end up on the shuttle bus from Austin to Houston. They dropped me off back at the house, but the guy was falling asleep the entire ride.
I've had taxi cab drivers like that too. When they fall asleep and you can't, you're so afraid.
I can't go to sleep. I'm tired.
Right.
I don't know. And the worst part is, so you know the light tower that's over here. Was it in the Heights or where's the little light?
I know what you're talking about. I think it's in the Heights.
Yeah, it's in the Heights. When we were sitting there circled and we tried to land. I literally, out of my window, I could see the ground when they tried to land, and they just revved the engine and took back off. I'm sitting there like...
You're talking about what used to be the Transco Tower in the Galleria?
Yes, that area, that still does the little lights.
Yeah.
You can see all of that, and I could see the floor, and they still wouldn't land the plane. It's crazy.
Oh, by the way, I know some of you don't like this, including Barry, but I don't care. At least Houston can rest assured that if they're not going to be in the Super Bowl... Neither are the Cowboys, so you're welcome. We did what we had to do for you there, and there's a lot of bitterness that I'm finding out in what I thought was an incredible football game. And by the way, for all the Cowboy fans that talked a lot of crap to me all week, and I didn't say anything because I've already told you my policy is I never talk crap before, but I remind people after if we should prevail, please don't blame the officials. That was one hell of a football game.
Man, that's one thing I know about the Cowboy fans. They were always going to blame the officials. And let's get it right. The officials yesterday allowed both teams to play the game.
Yep,
that's one thing I will say. They didn't call a bunch of fouls that probably should have been called, but they didn't call it both ways.
So they let them play.
They let them play.
As opposed to the Steelers-Chiefs game, we'll get to that too. And one call that kept one team from at least continuing on play in what was a very tightly contested Sunday night game. So we've got that. Travis is going to break down the rule that everybody wants to know about in the Cowboy-Packer game in terms of the huddle and the 15-yarder that stopped a drive for the Cowboys. And most importantly, we'll get to a lot more Cowboys conversation because everybody wants to talk about what's next for your red, white, and blue Texans. Hey, join us on the show, 713-780-ESPN. You can text us, you can call us, or you can hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Well done, my man, Nick Sciarra. Well done, because as we say on this show, it's just sports, it's not life, and real life is real hard. There's a man right there that dedicated his entire life to making life better for others, and it should be noticed. No, and you should be on notice as well to pay homage to a man that literally died trying to make things better for people in this country and around the world. And I appreciate, Nick, you doing that, and we're going to do some other things throughout the show with bump music and other things to make sure that we realize, look, sports is sports, but life is life. And life's pretty complicated these days, especially politically, where everybody, whichever side of the fence you're on. And everybody needs to step back and realize that the message that Dr. King was saying way back then never is more important, and he didn't speak more truth than it rings out now. We should really pay some pretty close attention and go back and read some of his speeches and some of his tweets. I just tweeted one out, one of his quotes, and it really makes you think, because boy, we've kind of lost our way lately. So,
oh, no question.
It's time to reel it in. Speaking of losing their ways, you picked the Texans. I thought you were going to be a genius. I watched that first half.
At first, I thought so too.
And I'm like, my man Trap is just spot on. I could not believe it. And I was happy for him. I was like, look, they're doing everything. And we said, no turnovers. Look, they even overcame a special teams faux pas by letting that return happen.
But then the special teams picked it up.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they came back, and Bill O'Brien today addressed special teams in his press conference, which you didn't miss much. But at the same time, you looked at it and you said, man, 14-13 at the half. Okay.
Money.
This was a sick, straight money, straight cash, homie. Because we're talking about a 16.5 point spread.
Yes.
And you're down one at the break. I'm thinking, man, you are in the driver's seat. You got your belt on, and you got your foot on the pedal. And the second half. I mean, the quarterback reared his head, and everything kind of came crashing to a halt from what was the bugaboos of this team all year long.
No question. And the worst part is that everybody who we've been questioning during the season, or you know, the pundits have been questioning, stepped up and played great ball. Xavier Seafilo,
was out there beastly running plays.
He was balling. I was so proud of him. I sent him a text message and said, man, you know what? I'm very proud of you.
No doubt.
I said, because the way you played in this game, you let them things hang, man. You were doing your job on a whole nother level. It's like he grew up before our eyes right there on national TV in that game. And I'm hoping this is that step for him to now be the player we hoped him to be when he came out of UCLA. When early in the game, you saw Brock, and you're like, Brock is.
He's looking off. He wasn't staring down receivers. He was looking guys off, and they were noticing it.
And he wasn't. It wasn't that he was doing anything real prolific, but right. He wasn't.
Didn't have to be.
You know, I think the worst part was when I'm, you know, because as a fan, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, man, Brock is balling.
Yep.
Then I saw his stats. I'm like, man, he's 13 for 17, but. He only got 83 yards. I said, man, he over there check down Charlie until the wheels fall off.
But he's managing the game, brother.
He's managing the game. I said, but at the same time, I said, it's gonna help us right now early, but they're gonna have to start pushing the ball downfield. And when they pushed the ball downfield, he missed on a few of his targets. And not just that, then the same guy who we said all season long has the dropsies for hands. Will Fuller could have changed the game around if he catches that. And that's one of the harder passes to do, because if you look, he was looking for it to go inside and it dropped in the basket over the top.
So he had to adjust.
So it wasn't really a big adjustment as it was an eye adjustment.
Yes. That's what I mean.
Yeah. So, because now your depth is a little bit different over the top, because coming over your head, and for people who don't realize it, I would say practice it like this. Throw your head back, or be running full speed, or not even running full speed. Just sit there, walking, and have somebody throw a tennis ball over your head and see how long it takes you to catch the side of that ball and get in position to catch it. That's difficult to do.
Your bigger point is dead on, though. Every little thing that we've talked about throughout the year seemed to come back in a microcosm of the second half.
In the second half, no question. No question. But then you saw this defense. This defense gave you the question of saying, this right here is a championship defense. This right here is a championship defense. It got to the point where I had a friend of mine who does TV in Chicago, mm-hmm. where at 120 Sports, they did a segment on whether or not the Texans should trade J.J. Watt because of how good this defense played without him.
That has also been said on this show.
And I was like, man, when he broke it down, he was like, I would, unless they give up two first round picks, then I wouldn't even fathom it. I said, but at the same time, what I said right now from everything I'm hearing is that J.J. is looking phenomenal. Mm-hmm. He's working phenomenal. He is ready to go. He'll be ready for next year. Me as a fan?
God, I'd be charged up about that defense.
I want to see that together.
Yeah, put him and Clowney and Merciless on the same defense.
And don't forget John Simon.
And Simon, a healthy Simon. Now, he's free agent, so you got to sign him, just like you got to sign Bouye.
They're going to sign him. And the problem is Bouye.
Bouye is going to get away.
And what did I tell you? Once again.
You did.
Bouye made some plays in this game.
Travis Johnson, you told us about Bouye. Travis Johnson, you told us about the fact that this defense quite possibly could play better with J.J. out. Not to say take anything away from J.J., and you were dead on. So we can talk about all that and a whole lot more. We want you to be a part of the show. 713-780-ESPN, where you can text us or you can call into the show directly, or you can hit us up on Twitter at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Yes, that's for Green Bay. At No Hit Nick and at TrapJ99. So hit us up. We're here. Why can't you be here too? If you're here and I'm here, isn't it our time, Mr. Hand? That's too old for you, Nick. That's Fast Times at Ridgemont High. We are ESPN 97.5.
America is essentially a dream. It is a dream of a land where men of all races, of all nationalities, and of all creeds can live together as brothers. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
It's my man Nick Sharara doing exactly what we love, bringing in the Heavy D with a smooth sampling of Dr. King as we again tribute to the man on his day, Martin Luther King. It's Martin Luther King Day, and we're here for you. We don't have holidays around here because we work, and we work for you. Trav, we were talking about it before the break, but look, I mean, tale of two halves, but that first half had it. I love Clowney's energy. I love the fact when you saw him on the sidelines, he was leading by example, and he was fired up, and he was getting in people's faces.
Yes, he was.
He was mad about the return for the touchdown. He was jacked up when they and motivating guys to play harder, better. They got the fumble that they needed, and special teams was juiced after that. This might be that come to Jesus moment where we see the development of Jadeveon Clowney as a leader in that locker room, which was fantastic to see.
Well, I mean, I love the leaders that lead by example, and I think with his energy, with his play, with his just his style, man, in general, and the type of person he is. I think that to me was the best part about his leadership skills. And yeah, Ryan Pickett. Yeah, he's one. But you know, he was phenomenal, man. I just enjoyed watching him and watching him break down guys. I mean, you could tell he started to learn a lot from JJ as far as, you know, when they give you something, take it.
Yeah.
And you just got go as hard as you can. Even if you reached, even if you scoop, go as hard as you can to make up for that disadvantage.
Here's the other thing I noticed,
too. Until you make the play.
A lot of people give Brady too much respect when they're on the field with him. So they naturally, a couple seconds too early, ease up when they can hit him. He was the opposite. Yeah. He was drilling the crap out of him, and I loved it. Because I said on Thursday and Friday, you got to make him uncomfortable and take his head out of the game. How do you do that? You hit him hard, you hit him low, you get him talking to the officials, because we know he's a whiny little bitch when he gets hit. And unfortunately, late, he did end up getting a penalty for because Brady was lobbying for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It happened right after he was lobbying.
And it happens all the time. He baits the officials. He lobbies like crazy. It's the old Phil Jackson adage. If you want the officiating to change in a series, then take the fine and bitch on a practice day, because guaranteed the next game's going to go your way.
Yeah, no question. You know what? That hit might have been a little bit late, but at the same time, I said there was no malintent from him, because the simple fact is, he was turning that corner so tight and was already committing to making the hit, and he just so happened Tom let that ball go and his head was already down.
I mean, that one was a clean hit.
Oh yeah, no, it was always going to be. I mean, it was a great game, and he set the tone with his play. And you know what? If this is Vince Wilfork's last game, which I hope it's not, because I enjoy watching him. Mm-hmm. He's a friend. He's a class of 2000 classmate. You know, he's a Hall of Fame career. Even though he's a Cane, I would love to keep watching him play.
I hope he sits and takes some time to think about it and maybe gives it another go. Because, boy, he didn't really slow down. By the end of the year, he was doing a lot of damage.
Exactly. And this game, he played real well. This past game, and I know it's probably because it was he's back home with the Patriots.
Right.
You know, he played very well this
past
game.
I'm going to give Bill O'Brien a little credit, too. Second to last play, and he takes him out of the game so New England fans could pay them some homage.
Yeah.
It was a class move.
Yeah, no question.
Because if it is his last game, it's the perfect way to go out.
No question.
But I still think he's got enough in the tank left that there's time for that later. I agree with you. I hope he comes back and plays.
It's time for it later, but I think for him, it's a perfect ending. Like, what are the odds of me going to the Texans out of all places and having an opportunity to play my final game still in New England? You know what I mean? That's Disney stuff. That's the stuff of fairy tale to say, you know what, I was fortunate enough to get to play, you know, he's fortunate enough to get to play 11 seasons, you know what I mean, in one place. And as a rookie there in New England, he wins a title.
And everybody will say, well, the fitting way is to go out on top. But guess what? He's been there, done that.
Yeah.
This was the full circle.
This is the full circle.
Right.
And not just that, but to see I don't like New England as a whole, not the team, but the area, as far as the Boston, New England area. I hate that area. You know what I mean? I just do. The people, yeah, it irks me. But it just showed that when it comes to the Patriots and how classy the fans want to be towards somebody they really cared about.
They will.
Exactly.
Look, I don't agree with Belichick. I don't agree with his short, contrite self and his, you know, undressing people in the media. And all the things that he does. But as an organization, I've said they're as close to a dynasty as we'll probably see in our lifetime. The Spurs in basketball, the Patriots in football are as close as you're going to get in terms of teams that have won and won consistently, and especially for the most part, Spurs more so than the Patriots in terms of winning the right way, because you can go to all these controversies that have come up with the Patriots. But in terms of a class organization towards their players, it seems like New England always takes care of their players, Antonio does in basketball, which is key. Look, you know what? A lot of what we laid out for you in that perfect scenario was sitting there right for the taking at halftime. You know, make Brady uncomfortable. Hit him hard. You know, make sure you open it up a little bit. Not too much, but do enough so that you keep New England guessing a little bit. And I'll tell you this, Romeo Crennel, a couple of things. Romeo Crennel needs to get more credit than he's gotten.
Oh, no question. Because Rack has always been a hell of a defensive coordinator.
But the things that the different blitz packages he was throwing and how clean guys were getting right through gaps to get to Brady in the first half, I was like, man, this is impressive. And here's the other thing. For as much as I rail on Rick Smith, and I'm still going to be critical of him, but for all the swings and misses, the John Simons, the A.J. Bouyes, the guys that stepped up when they needed to step up, look, man, there were some guys that you didn't expect to get a lot from in the last couple years that played huge for this team.
You know what is I, you know, we've been critical. I haven't been as critical as you've been, but we've been critical.
I'm not backing off of it. I've still seen those drafts.
But you know what? The other day, because if one thing, drafts are inexact science. But the other day, I think it was, I can mention him because, I mean, I don't care. He's cool. He's cool with me. It was Jason Braddock had just put a picture up of the second round picks. Mm-hmm. And outside of that year with Sam Montgomery and them guys.
That's the three that got caught with the doobie.
Yeah, but outside of that second round year, the other second round drafts were pretty solid.
Middle rounds is where I've always had a problem. I mean, guys that don't end up even making the team and things like that.
Well, but in his defense, it's also a different.
Okay, but you know as well as I do, when we highlighted those drafts, yeah, there were a lot of swings and misses.
But it's also a different, like this, the drafts now aren't like they used to be.
Right, but keep in mind, I also have done all of that and said all of that without even dabbling in the quarterback thing. And reaching out that far.
The quarterback thing, I think we can all say we would have wished they would have got a quarterback at some point. But then when you look at it, you say, okay, outside of Derek Carr, outside of
not drafting Will Fuller, then you're taking Paxton Lynch, but it's going to be a process.
Yeah, it's still a process. I mean, and I think until we see him pan out, then we really don't know. But we can go to commercial.
Yeah, we'll go to break. We'll come back. We have plenty to talk about. Where do you go from here, Houston Texans fans? Do you go to the quarterback? Is that where you're focused all your energy? Travis Johnson, do you still think that the Browns have a better roster than your Houston Texans? We'll get to all that and a whole lot more. ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
NFL event, you gonna bring...
Hey, it's Joel, Trapp, and Nick on a very special Dr. Martin Luther King Day. We are working, and we're glad you're with us. We're talking about the Texans. Talking about a lot that went right in the first half. Talking about a breakdown in the second half. But talking about... You know, for the most part, with the exception of the one glaring problem that everybody is already very well versed in, that there was a lot to be excited about and satisfied with from this team. I even gave props to Rick Smith a little bit. But I really gave a lot of props to Romeo Crennel because I thought that, you know, for a while there with all the injuries, he was doing it like MacGyver with chocolate bars and string and... You know, and maybe a rubber band. But, I mean, he really got a unit without J.J. Watt to buy in, bond, come together, accept their roles, and play their asses off. You know, John Simons, a guy I was very high on all year long. And I just, you know, he was dinged up at the end of the year, and that's unfortunate. But there's a guy that earned his stripes this year by just all over the field wreaking havoc.
Yeah.
You know. We mentioned the fact that Bouye has made a name for himself to the point where he's going to get paid, and it's probably not going to be here.
No.
Now, the question was asked on Twitter, and I wanted to throw that out to you. But are you okay with either restructuring if he'll do it and or cutting one, if not both, of your high price guys, Cushing and or Jonathan Joseph, to try and keep Bouye?
No.
And do you think that who's back? You think J.J.'s back?
Of course. I think J.J.'s back and Kareem's back. I mean,
no, not Kareem. I'm talking. I said.
Yeah, I mean, I think both of them are coming back. I mean.
No, I never doubted Kareem. But J.J.'s got, you know,
I think you're 11 for J.J.?
Yeah, obviously on the. He's fading a little bit.
Yeah, but no, I think he still comes back. Maybe you restructure his deal.
That's what I'm saying. Do you restructure it?
Yeah, you restructure his deal, give him more guaranteed money.
What about
up front.
Cushing?
Cush, I mean, Kush is on the end of I think his last deal he signed, which I mean, it's going to be a big money year of that deal. So I think for what he's done for this community and being up for the Walter Payton Man of the Year award and for what he's done on the field this year, you know, he showed he still got a lot left in the tank.
It's not for a lack of want, but it's just financially, is that going to be able to work? And are they going to be able to free up enough money to try and at least be in the sweepstakes to keep Bouye?
Well, you know, Bouye might already, you know, because as we know before, during the offseason, is the caller on right now?
No, go ahead.
Oh, during the offseason, that they lowball Bouye. So Bouye, in the back of his mind, he probably thinking, regardless of how you feel, I'm still going to go somewhere else, unless they put the franchise on. Right. And I don't see them doing that actually, it's a possibility. Now that I think about it and break it down, it's a great possibility. It could do that. But, I mean, it's a lot going on. I think everybody's going to be back. I think Bouye takes a deal somewhere else, you know what I mean, and probably even if he's getting closer to home in Florida.
Lamont, you're hanging in there with us today on a Dr. Martin Luther King Day. What's up, my man?
Hey, man, what's the deal with it?
All good, man. All good. What do you want to talk about with that Texans game?
I want to talk about the Texans game, but on that Bouye, I have a sneaky suspicion that he's going to probably end up a Titan, because they have the money, and he's definitely a need, and it weakers a division opponent. As far as the game, you know, leading up to the game, it's common talk. Anytime we play the Patriots, people say, I guess anytime the Patriots play anyone, we all say that Bill Belichick, the Patriots, take away your best players on defense.
Right.
Do you guys think that they did that this last game?
Nope. I don't, because obviously...
Because Jadavion was out there balling.
Yeah, and we thought that they were going to give a lot of extra effort towards Clowney, but at least in the first half... And look, that's why I gave a lot of the credit to, or at least part of the credit to Romeo Crennel, because what he was throwing at them and looks that they hadn't seen previously were opening up gaps, and Clowney's athleticism and his strength were just all over the place. I mean, if they tried, that's on them, but he was wreaking havoc in the first half. Now, I think in the second half, Lamont, they made adjustments for sure.
Yeah, I think they made adjustments, but it was just something that I just, you know, I always hear this about the Patriots and Belichick, that they take away your strength. But, like, I didn't see that happen this game. Those dudes was out there flying all around. They was pretty crunk, too. But that's all I have, man. But, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if A.J. Bouye is a Titan, unless something weird happens. But I did see some chat on Twitter of people saying that the Texans have enough money to sign Bouye right now without cutting anyone. So I don't know what that's all about.
They can have that thought all they want. I mean, A.J. Bouye is going to be known as a top corner coming up.
He's getting more than $10 million a year.
Oh, no question. No question.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So that's what they got to be prepared for.
And you know what? The crazy part is, don't be surprised if the Packers get in that sweepstakes.
See, I was thinking about that. The fact that Green Bay, because they realize the window still isn't as open as it is closed with Rodgers, and you know that you want to compete every year, and their secondary is a glaring weakness. As much as they don't dabble and trap, let me tell you this: the key to that whole thing going down, or them looking at it, is getting Ted Thompson out. Because the rumor is Ted Thompson's going to walk away. Ron Wolf's son may be the heir apparent. Yeah. They've got a lot of options. But you need a general manager that, for as good as Ted's been at drafting, he has to look at being wise and smart. You and I have talked about it all year. You need to fill a need at a time when you need it most, which means you're going to have to, from time to time, go out and sign a free agent.
Yeah.
I know it's painful, and he always likes the bargains or the deals that are going to turn out for you, the Charles Woodsons, the Reggie Whites.
Yeah, Charles Woodson, Reggie Whites, Julius Peppers.
Julius Peppers, right. Yeah. But the bottom line is, sometimes you need a Cromartie. Sometimes you need a Peanut Tillman that comes to you and says, hey, man, I want to win a ring, and you guys got a need. Put me in, coach.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the kind of thing where I think they need a little bit more open-mindedness in the general manager position.
Yeah.
That would help.
And I would agree with that. I think the blaring stuff you saw of how the X Factor abused the corners out there. You know, when you look at what he was doing this week, and he made a lot of plays at the wide receiver position against the Packers. Like, yeah, he made the Packers secondary look bad.
Dez. Yeah.
No question. And Dez was out there.
And if you think Dez was good, wait till you see what Julio Jones has got
now,
for
Julio
you.
Julio Jones is going to cause problems.
Yeah, big time. And they're gonna better hope to get real healthy real soon. Calls are filling in all over the place. William, you want to get in here, but you got a question about Drew Brees. William, you there?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. So basically, my question is, I've been looking at this Drew Brees fellow. Y'all may have heard of him before. And so
he's not bad.
My question to you guys is, how can you make a top five quarterback list all time and he not be on it? I mean, you're looking at a guy for 8 straight years that has put up 30 or more touchdowns. He's got 5,000 yards passing. Looking more into it, if he can go for at least 3,000 yards the next 2 years, he would have the passing yardage mark for a career. And I think,
well, I mean, who said he's not in it? I mean, look, he's put 5,000 yard seasons together. I mean, I said this a couple weeks ago. He has more 5,000 yard throwing seasons than all other quarterbacks combined in the Hall of Fame. So, I mean, you digest that, and then you factor in his size and everything else, and you say, I mean, Drew Brees is, to me, a first ballot Hall of Famer, no-brainer. I mean, when you talk about top five, again, we talk about criteria all the time. It just depends on how you look at the criteria. It really does. It looks at, and we never know what the criteria is, and everybody's got their own. But, I mean, look, he's got to be in every discussion about, you know, top five, top 10 quarterbacks of all time.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, big fan of the show, you guys. I listen every day. Y'all keep doing what you're doing, man.
Appreciate it, man.
William. Hey, Darwin, hang on. We're coming to you next. We've got plenty more to get to. We are shooting it with you on a Dr. Martin Luther King Day. It's a holiday for you, not for us. We work because we know that you guys want to talk after that big football weekend. Hey, by the way, in case you saw or heard or got the news release from Smokey the Bear, a tree fell in the woods last night, even though you didn't hear it or see it. That's your Houston Rockets and James Harden. They played at the same time as the highest-rated divisional playoff game ever. 48.5 million viewers yesterday for Packers-Cowboys.
That's a big game.
That's the biggest of all time.
The question is, what it would have done if it was a late game? You think it would have been worse? You think it would have been more people watching?
I think primetime with the Cowboys and Packers. Primetime, it might have even blown the roof off of that number. But we can talk about a lot of different things. Darwin's coming back next. He wants to talk about A.J. Bouye and the Texans. We can talk about the Rockets and Harden with another triple-double, an easy win at Brooklyn. They're now soaking in some sunshine at South Beach, which in the past, with a day off, could be a problem. Let's see if they've overcome some of their immaturity. We've got plenty more to get to. We've got one in the books and two to go. We love it when you're a part of the show. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.